Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Grateful that you can join us again on this December 13, 2018, as we fast approach another yearly cycle. Friends, it's important that we realize time waits on no one. Talk Straight is a platform that is designed to engage in national dialogue across urban America, intended to address specifically the challenges socially, economically that face particularly young people and young men across urban America who might fall through the cracks. And more importantly, our conversation helps us to proffer solutions, resolutions, and things that will be of great help to them. The number to call us tonight, 657-383-0944. We have a good guest in the house tonight. We'll introduce him in just a little bit. We're going to get through our monologue. We'll bring him in and he'll be with us as long as we can. And we're also looking for Pastor Ricky Walla to join us tonight, as well as our regular callers. Again, the number is 657-383-0944. Tonight, this is, as we promoted via the Facebook app, Talk Straight is doing reflections in the month of December. And our reflective topic tonight is why we can't wait. As you, if you follow us, you know that we addressed this in 2008. This was one of our episodes, our topics, why we can't wait. We're revisiting that because, as with our last topic, we believe, and we were talking about that that dark room last time, we believe it's important that we focus on these things. And as we look at 2019, I believe that there are some very powerful instructions as to what we can do and how we can use that information. All right? And so with that, let me get to my monologue. Again, the number to call is 657-383-0944. Again, the topic is why we, there is a scriptural verse, Proverbs 6 chapter and the 9th verse, and it reads very simply, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep?" Sounds like to me, this text begs the question, and maybe we can apply that to ourselves. When will we realize that we have to get up out of our unconscious state and to be proactive for ourselves? All right, some things I want to share with you as a recap, and you've heard some of this data that I'm going to share with you tonight before, but it serves as the empirical evidence for the need and the nature of the change that is needed, I should say. Whenever two human beings procreate life through children, they are fulfilling a natural process from the Creator himself. That's natural, whether they're intending to or not. Now, the Creator's intention is that they do so in promise. Okay? Hence the framework of a family. When their relationship, whatever that got them together, hooked them up, and caused them to engage in the process of procreation, is broken, the children are subject to become the victims of the fragments of their shattered union. Very much like you see in certain neighborhoods, glass from wine bottles and so forth, broken and left on the street. And if a little baby is to go out there, you to walk barefooted, you're going to cut yourself. If you leave such things and sharp instruments around children, they are subject to be harmed. Very similarly, this is the essence of what happens in the broken family. Whether this is intentional or not, and all right, I'm so sorry. We had someone to call in and interrupt our call there. Bear with us, callers. We were cut off from our monologue. Apologize, it looked like we may have had a caller to lose a caller. Maybe they'll call back. We'll get right back to it, though. We're going to get right back on track here. All right, I was talking about the broken family being the basis of children and the harm that they are subject to face as a result of that. Okay? Then we're talking about why we can't wait. That's what we're talking about, why we can't wait on a political party, wait on the church, wait on parents, wait on anybody or anything to move in the interest of our young people across urban America who are at risk. Okay? We'll talk about the dropout rate for a second. Now, we're talking about people that are 16, males in particular, to 24 years old. And what they have found is through a study, Department of Education, from 1960 through 2006, and this is relevant data for today, these 16 to 24-year-olds have a dropout rate similar to this, very simply. Compared to white males at 5.8, African-American males have a relative dropout rate of 8.2%. So you can see that there's a greater chance for African-American males dropping out of school. That means that limits their opportunities for careers or work because of the lack of a formal education. All right? In terms of incarceration, in 2014, African-Americans constituted somewhere around 2.3 million. Okay, or 34% of the total 6.8 million incarceration population of people in the correctional institution in prison. They're incarcerated five times more than their white male counterparts. The imprisonment rate of African-American women is twice that of white women. Now, nationwide, African-American children, and you see these children on the street oftentimes after curfew hours, we talked about that, represent 32% of those who are arrested. When you look at the crime reports from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, 42% of children who are detained and 52% of children whose cases go on to be brought before a judge or magistrate in the court. That's why we can't wait. Let's look at the homicide rate just for a second. Now, the Center for Disease Control, we talked about this, has some data that's out there, some empirical evidence. And researchers have identified that there's a severe problem here related to death from firearms. They also indicate that there are inequalities, okay, and those people that are in a certain age range. We talk about teenagers to young adults. Let's look at what they discovered. Compared to white men, the researchers found that black men experienced 27 more firearm homicides per 1,000 people every year nationwide. What that breaks down is 29.12 for black men versus 2.1 for white men. We can't wait to try to figure this out. We're in a dire situation. And what young people, what the babies are crying out for are answers. Listen to Akon for a second, and I'll bring my special guest on who's going to be with us for a little while. And we got Pastor Wally here with us. 657-383-0944. Just for a minute, let's listen to Akon. He explains, I believe, or he encapsulates the mentality of many young people across urban America who are the victims of those facts and those conditions I just shared with you in the monologue.
Daddy trying to find a motive. I do what I do. Freedom ain't getting no closer, though. No matter how far I go, my car is stolen. Stolen registration. I'm patrolling. Rolling. I didn't stop me. I get stopped. They won't let me out. They won't let me out.
You're listening to Talk Street. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Darkery. Grateful that you can join us tonight. And the number is 657-383-0944. We're talking from the topic, Why We Can't Wait. This is a reflection from 2018. And with me is my son, Reuben Jr., from Cleveland, Ohio. And Pastor Ricky Waller is here online. And 3072, a.k.a. Dr. Roma, is in the house. All right. Junior, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Nice to be on the show.
Good, good. Thank you for joining us. Pastor Waller, there's your friend. Pastor Waller, you there? Okay. How you doing, 3072?
Hey, we're doing good. Hey, Dr. Reuben Jr.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. Well, now, you guys heard my monologue, and Reuben and I were talking earlier about a little current event, essentially, where this young man, athlete, was kind of caught up in a precarious situation. And I think about Akon, where he described how he said in the song, I'm trying to figure out why I do what I do. And when he talked about being locked up, I don't think so much about him physically being locked up as it is socially and emotionally. He's in some sort of cage. What say you about that, Reuben?
Could you repeat the question?
Yeah, what do you think about the idea that, like the character in the song, Locked Up, I assume you heard that, and young men across urban America, even this young man who was an athlete, he was struggling to do well, but he got caught up in an assault situation with a young lady, and now his career is in the ruins. What do you think about that? What do you think about Akon's idea about it? He's trying to figure out why he do what he does.
I think that that is a circumstance that for probably who that applies to, these men that are mentally locked up, they don't recognize that they're locked up. It's kind of a product of society or the environment that, you know, depending on whose perspective it's coming from, they see them as locked up. But then personally, they feel like that's, I guess, what they're supposed to do. That's how they're supposed to live life. Depending on who's looking at the situation, they might see a little bit differently.
Right. Well, you know, some would argue that he is successful and he is above or better than most the average guy in the hood because he's a professional. He was, at least anyway, a professional athlete. He went to school
right.
and became a professional athlete, playing for a professional, a pro football team, until one little incident in his life just totally ruined it. What's the difference between he and the average kid running on the block, would you say?
Well, I would say they're quite honestly just about the same. I mean, the only difference is that, you know, he had a certain opportunity that probably not a lot of others have, and he was, you know, I guess, able to get himself out of the situation that many other young people are in, and, you know, and his work, you know, being able to play. But, you know, mentally, he's probably in the same place. The only thing that distinguishes them is the circumstances and the difference, or the opportunity that he had as opposed to others.
Okay.
So he wound up in a situation.
Yeah. So 37-2, can we make the argument that he had more money and the opportunity to be away from the hood directly? So, you know, yeah, he can escape certain things, but give a little background on who we're talking about, if you don't mind, Ruben, so she can weigh in on the conversation.
So my knowledge of the situation, this player, his name is Kareem Hunt, and he was released from the Kansas City Chiefs recently, I believe this past week, from a video that surfaced of him putting his hands on a woman in a hotel in Cleveland. This incident happened months ago. However, this video just came up, and you know, the NFL reviewed it, the team reviewed it, and they let him go because, you know, they don't want any that to reflect bad on, you know, their organization, at least right now, you know, until this settles.
Okay. How old would you say he is?
He's probably about 25, I would guess.
All right. So you see where we're coming from, 37-2?
Yeah. And then what happened? Was it self-defense, or did he just go mad and beat the woman up, or, like, what happened?
You want to weigh in on that, Ruben? Give us a feedback on that.
Sure. I think he was under the influence, and some sort of conflict came about, which you know, it escalated, and he ended up hitting the woman and kicking her and several other kind of physical acts against her.
Let me give a little background, a little context. By the way, we are joined by 8112 out of Peoria, Illinois. Welcome to the conversation. Part of what I saw was that he was with a young lady. This is an African-American male with a young Caucasian female and some other people at an expensive hotel. Apparently, there was an expectation that the young Caucasian female was to have sex with his friend. And then that's where the conflict broke out. All of this is caught on camera in a major hotel. Now, he can afford to go to the hotel and live a lavish life, but he got caught up in the mindset. That's the point. And we're talking about why we can't wait to reach these young men, because here is a young man who, by all measures, is successful, a successful professional athlete, but yet his whole life is turned upside down by one fatal moment. And that's the decision. He was mad that she didn't go along, so he started to engage in a physical tussle with her. and wind up kicking her on camera in front of everybody in this expensive hotel. Explain it to me like I'm 3 years old, 30, 72.
Wow. I can't explain to you because I honestly don't know how anybody could come to that. If it, again, it doesn't sound like any form of self-defense.
No.
But with that being said, with all that he's accomplished and worked so hard for, he has himself. And I think that's where we need to start teaching and instilling within our children and our communities. I think Dr. Martin Luther King said that it's left up to us. So he has himself seriously to thank for all of that happening, all of it, him drinking or whatever drug, if he was on drugs, doing whatever deal he made with the young lady and his friend, all of that he orchestrated. So who should he be mad at?
Who do you, okay, all right. 25 years old, black male, 8112, and he is caught up in the success of being a professional athlete. They're trained, uh-oh, we lost 3072. They're trained, 8112, to be brute and to compete. They're not really trained to think and be rational, but they're trained to be brutal and compete and to win a game on the football field like gladiators. Nobody's taught him about how to treat a woman and respect himself. What about that 8112?
Because somebody might have told me he just didn't listen, because some people get a big head after that.
Okay.
I mean, some people just feel like they can do what the heck they want to do without thinking it through. And then for every action, there's a reaction. So now he's in trouble, may have lost his career. He's probably sitting somewhere looking mighty dumb right now.
Yeah. And let's compare his eyes to that young. I'm sorry. Go ahead, 3072. You're back with us. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. My phone hung up. I was just going to say, I mean, where we need to support each other within our communities and within our race even is where we need to discourage, then we need to discourage that kind of foolishness in action.
That's honestly, whatever
penalty comes with that is what comes with it. I'm trying to teach my 22-year-old daughter now through my life experiences, my ups, my downs, my successes, my everything. It's up to you. It's your choice. Don't be angry when your result comes in. But whatever it is, know you have control. It's up to you.
So let me go to Reuben for a second. Pastor Walla, are you with us there, sir?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay.
I wanted to share some when you get opportunity.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hold one second, Pastor. Go ahead, Pastor.
Okay.
And then, Reuben, I'll come right back to you with the next question. Go ahead, Pastor.
The thing that I like to make sure of that we don't take lightly. And I remember hearing being taught, and that's a beautiful thing that we must teach in our community, and that would be outstanding. The number one thing that community is to recognize how fast trouble, you know, you can get into. Anyway, it doesn't take just a moment.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
easy in trouble, but to get out of it. And that's the thing that I right now, that you say the young man may be feeling really bad, surely. Because that very precious moment, you know, of living that lavish lifestyle, it just vanished just at that very moment. It didn't have to do with no more money that he had, because he probably loaded with money.
Wow.
You understand?
Wow.
But I know, personally, I can only say from my experience, I know what it is. I know what it means to be young and dumb, full of fluid and always ready to do it. That's my own experience. That's my own experience.
Wow.
He may not never think that about himself, and he have a right not to think that of himself. But I had to discover how young and dumb that I was, and that's how fast I got in trouble, you know. And so it can be done just at that moment. That's why the Word of God does say, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So let me go to Reuben there. Pastor, We got your friend on here, Junior's on the phone with us just for a little while. And he's out of Cleveland, Ohio. He's a junior at Case Western Reserve there. And he's joining us just for a little bit. He's in finals now. But he took the time from his busy schedule to join. I appreciate that.
All right.
So, Ruben, if you were to compare Hunt to the average cat with a pistol on his in his pants, and then he get into a little tiff with somebody, right, or he get hungry and he go rob a store and stick it in somebody's face. Now, on the Sportscaster show, there was a former athlete who took up for the young man and said he should get a second chance. You know, his career shouldn't be over. How do we parlay that to the little guy that robbed somebody or possibly killed somebody?
Yeah, his position, the former athlete who was speaking in the commentator capacity on a sports show when they were reviewing this incident in the NFL, his position was, I guess he did take up for him, but only in the sense that if you totally take their career away, that should be consistent across the board, regardless of what the occupation or career of this person is. So anyone who commits a certain, and he explicitly used the example, a doctor or a lawyer or police officer or a firefighter, school teacher, anything like that. You can't try to give someone a second chance just because they're famous or they have, they're known, but it should be, kind of consistent across the board that anyone who does, such an atrocity should be, serve justice in the exact same way, for consistency's sake, especially, I guess, when you consider who's watching this, right? The young men that are kind of going up on their way, and watch this, because to them it may be confusing. Well, how did he get away with this? How did he get a second try? My friend down the block, he did the same thing, and now he's in jail. That sort of thing. So, I guess it's important for that to be discussed, I guess. That was his position.
Sure. So, but when you think about it, you got high homicide rates where black-on-black crime is real. You got a situation where black males are more likely to be arrested and sent to court and incarcerated. But those same black males would more than likely have dropped out of school, right, and have become economically desperate. And you trace back, they come from a family where the father was absent, there was a broken relationship between their mom and daddy. Do they get a second chance, 8112? Get a second chance?
Yes, I think so. Depending on what they've done, let me rephrase that. Depending on what you've done, sometimes you can do things just in split second because you done got upset or something. It's different things that occur with someone. And depending on what you've done and why you did this, some people also have time to think, as you were talking about earlier, from what I heard, I had just got in on the radio, but the guy that was about a white girl, a Caucasian lady, and his friend.
Right.
They had time to think about what they were doing and why you was there. He's not only just anybody, he's in the public eye from what I heard.
That was a very, very
foolish mistake. Would I end his career? No, but would I make him pay the piper for what he's done? Yes.
Well,
and that way he'll know not to do it again and don't think he can get away with it.
I see. But see, that's my whole contention, though, 8112.
Mm-hmm.
He gets it sounds like we're prepared to offer him a second shot. But let's y'all on the block, like Akon said, he get locked up. They won't let him out.
I said most of them, yes. It depends on what they've done, and I'm still standing by that. Because, like, when your child does something bad, and you have to discipline him or her, opposed to somebody not showing love enough to discipline theirs at all.
Interesting.
Yeah, you have to, even though you might know your mama whoop you, say, you know I love you. Power, power, power. You got your butt spanked for what you was doing.
That's right.
And she wasn't doing it out of anger. She probably was angry, but not to the point where she want to hurt her child. It's supposed to be don't spare the rod and spoil the child. Because these days, there's a lot of that going on. And I think that contributes to our children being as disobedient, disrespectful, hard-headed, and either go in the world and look for love that they may have at home or they may not have.
I agree.
Wow.
I agree.
Wow. Pastor Waller.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do you know it has been 54 years now since the 1964 Civil Rights Bill signing, and it promised in the fact that the quality of life for Negroes in the Negro community would be improved. But guess what? Here we are 54 years later, going on 55, and now the so-called African-American community have all of these issues. Did we go wrong somewhere? And can we wait on a political party or a preacher, a church, for the government to decide that they're going to come and intervene in urban America?
I mean, well, this is just, you know, we have to choose as we learn, you know, and some people just don't know it, and they're not going to do things in the matter of what we would say they ought to do when you got the world presenting certain things to them. And they're young, inexperienced, don't know any better. But what's attractive to the eyes, and when they can hear something and listen to it long enough, it gets in your system. And once it gets in your system, it's just like having your certain meal, something that you like, and you want to try it again. And that's the same way with the attraction of what is offered in this life by a person being young. You know, just stepping out of the yard. I mean, if just remember, a person in the yard sitting out on the porch can't go no further because the parents say, don't get off this porch. But yet still, what they continue to see, you know what I mean? It's not like having a house and nobody else is around, you know, but when you have, you know, an apartment and right next door, and you know how that goes, you got a community filled with kids. And there's nothing wrong with going outside to play. But every now and then, one ventures off. And when they venture off, they can venture off into something that, as I say, it only takes a moment to get in trouble. And that's the thing that I don't understand, because they don't know what the Word of God is saying. I know my group, I'm going to turn it back over to you after I say this. In my group, in my come up, we didn't know anything about the Word of God. Nothing. Okay. I mean, in my group. I'm not talking about other people's group.
I guess.
But in my group, we knew nothing about the Word of God according to popping the book open, seeing what it says, and applying it in our life. We didn't know that. So, you know, that's why I say trouble is easy to get into. It must be a hard time. You one deserve a second chance? Yes, I would say, you know, the brother deserve a second chance because he just got a lot of money. That don't mean he had the knowledge. Having money doesn't mean you have knowledge. You just have a lot of money.
Right. Right.
And he can show up for that football. I mean, he's extremely good. And so he's extremely good. So what is the difference between the guy on the block? You know, he got a lot of money.
We've been joined by Don out of Selma, Alabama. Welcome, Don, to Talk Strength. We talk about why we can't wait, Don. Why can't we wait to get our young people counseling, the love and the guidance that they need, Don? Why can't we wait?
Mr. Doc, it's kind of strange. Before I called you, I was looking at my phone. And as I'm looking at my phone, it said, no profile. And before I seen that, I was looking at some films back on 9/11. And it was kind of strange some of the things was going on. And I'm going to say something to you, Mr. Dockery. I've been trying to charge my brothers and sisters being in the conspiracy of assassinating my dad. And the reason I say that to you, before 9/11, on December 1995, I took my father down to see Brother Bonzio. And Brother Bonzio said he didn't believe in losing. And so now, and the more I keep going along, Mr. Darker, even around where I stay, I came from Uncle Ed's funeral. I got a circle settlement, and I had it right here in the room. I had it. He came up missing. And it's strange to me that on 28th and Jefferson, y'all got that bookstore and Rose Sandinim down here in the heart of the Black Belt. Ain't got a bookstore like that.
Hey,
so,
Don.
You know what I'm saying? So, go ahead.
I hear what you're saying.
That's when you said, why come we can't wait? Are we holding back the truth, Mr. Dockery? Is that why we can't wait? What is it?
Now talk to me. Let's say, because I don't want, you're saying some things. I understand what you're saying, but most of the listening audience don't understand the context of what you're speaking of. But, okay, that's a good point. That's a good point. Let me go to Reuben Jr. Reuben, explain this to me. If you had hurt, you had Akon or Lushardi from the block, and you had a mechanical engineering student, they were both in, all of them were in a dark room, and they were told that they can't come out until they all were in agreement. What would be their agreement? What likely could they agree on? Ruben?
There's some static in the background.
Okay. Your
question is, what could they agree on? That's an open-ended question. It depends on, this. I'm not entirely sure.
They all agree that they want to get out of the dark room.
Uh-oh, say what now?
They all would agree that they want to get out of that dark room.
Well, how are they going to do that, 8112?
They'll figure it out. Just say they butt out.
You got a gangbanger?
Huh?
8112. You got
mm-hmm.
a gangbanger, you got a professional athlete, and you got a engineer. They
mm-hmm.
all black male,
mm-hmm.
come from America, from different, obviously, mindsets and experiences. How do they all
mm-hmm.
come out of that black? How do they agree? How do they come to agreement?
I guess they had to hold them a conversation while they're in that dark room and decide they want to be tight. That's what I'm saying.
They want to have access.
They'll have to talk amongst each other and agree to disagree in order to get themselves out of trouble. For whatever reason, they in a dark room.
Wow.
It's
kind of
like heart.
Wow.
If your heart is in a dark space in your life, a dark point, excuse me, in your life,
yes,
you're going to eventually... Well, you know God and that. You're going to eventually come out of that dark space if you can, dark place if you can. Because you're going to call on them. Even some people don't believe in God. They find themselves, oh, God, if you help me get out of this, then I won't do this no more.
Wow. Wow. You agree with that 37 too?
Yeah, I do.
Mr. Dockery.
How do you see them coming? What do you think they're going to talk about then, Ruben? What would they talk? Who would begin the conversation and what would they? Ruben, where would they start?
I mean, I guess they would talk about the commonality between all three of them and kind of use that as a way to, persevere through the situation and come to some sort of agreement or
Mr. Dockery.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Don.
It's strange, and I'm glad Reuben is in the conversation because Reuben's at Case Western Reserve. And, Mr. Dockery, right there on 105, 13 miles a day, I hit the telephone, which when I came up, there was no phones like this. And I seen the pink house where me, my dad, Gary, and Elsie, we all came together and started growing organic food together right there in Herm, Ohio, up there where he's at. So, and I'm still working on that same project to this day. But like you said, who going to come together and agree?
That's it, Don.
And guess what else I did today, Ms. Dahlgren? This is strange. I ain't going to tell y'all no lie. I went downtown. There's a book called Old South. There's a map in there of how the South run its farming thing. And everywhere the green dots is tobacco. So are we going to raise organic food on where we grow tobacco?
Okay, Don, stop right there for a second. Stop right there. You hit some. You hit some. So now, 8112?
Yes, sir.
President Obama, some people don't like him, but President Obama, I'm not Obama, President Trump, I'm sorry, is pushing agricultural distribution and production. And President Obama opened it up for African Americans to be able to benefit from some of the federal dollars there. But yet, not many black males, athletes or engineers or even brothers from the hood, are interested in that. There is an open opportunity. How possible is it that if they strip themselves of their titles or whatever their recognition is, they will finally realize, as Ruben says, hey, we got something in common here.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that, 8112?
I think that, if you guys remember, I think a few weeks back I was saying something in reference to trying to teach the kids how to play plant a seed. So, therefore,
yes,
when it's over, we know it, and we can't go run into the grocery store and buy food like we do, then you'll know how to feed your family.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You will know how to feed your family. I also observed him over all these years how I had one to pay attention, and that's the youngest. Neither one of my daughters. I'm going to get my fingernails dirty. I'm like, I'm your mama. If I can get mine dirty trying to show you how to feed your family, if you have one, and feed yourself, then I think you should be willing to learn. And that's the same way with knowledge, streetwise, bookwise.
Mm.
You have to be willing to learn, because if you're not, life is the best teacher, I know. And it either make you or you can swim or you can.
Great point. Ruben, what do you think about that?
I think that's a powerful statement.
Now, because in 2018, we're about to go into 2019, there are we were there in Cleveland with you, and we just walked maybe two or three blocks from one area to another one. And it was like night and day between the hood, literally the housing project, and the college environment, right?
Mm.
And you see them all the time, native Cleveland, on campus, I imagine, right? Well, really, what's the difference in your experience and theirs? And more importantly, in 2019, how do we get young cats, young brothers and sisters to understand that there is a vast wealth of opportunities for you? But you have to stop pretending like you got a whole lot of time. Just because you're young don't mean you got a lot of time to be playing around and waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do we begin that conversation with that generation?
That's a difficult question in itself as well. I think maybe it starts at least with, their parents or who they look up to. So this athlete fellow who apparently, has traveled down the dark road, some of these other people that these young people might look up to, if they're doing a better job about, what opportunities are out there, that they're maybe not necessarily, sports or, entertainment or the common routes, they can start to be able to see the opportunities they have outside of, their neighborhood, outside of where they live, and, get
mm-hmm.
some sort of sense of urgency about, creating an opportunity for themselves.
Yeah.
And, the most direct route, obviously, is their parents and or the people in their life.
So, that's interesting you say that, Don. You know how that goes, Don, where people are looking to, when you get to a certain chronological age, you say you can't rely on your parents so much, so you look to the person you vote to represent you in government, right, or in your community, or you look to the preacher to give you certain comfort and security that things are going to be all right in life. Can you really rely on those, John, or must you be self-reliant?
Mr. Docker, you hit me real hard. You know, after I lost Mama, matter of fact, I was talking to Kayla's mother, and I was apologizing to her the other night. Mr. Dockery, she's up there in Dixon in a hotel with another friend with a toe amputated. They got sugar. And me and that young lady, Ray, was raised up together, too. And her mother's gone. And her father remarried. But when you say that, Mr. Dockery, you hit me hard because I'm in a room with a guy right now, and he's 60-something. And we was grieving the other day. We was here crying, grieving together. And so, you know, when you say things like that, you get at certain ages, you know what I'm saying, and you look back at your younger generation, and you look back when you came, you know what I'm saying, and you don't throw the heavy question out there. I mean, you know, could I depend on my father who was a minister, or could I depend on my mother, or was I actually depending on the Lord? Because after I lost my mother, I ain't going to tell nobody no lie. I was mad at God. And he tapped me on the shoulders and just came out of the blue and said, hey, that's my soul. That's not your soul. That's mine. I bring them in. You know, as I please. You're not the daddy. Here I am.
All right. Help us with that, Pastor Wallace. Provide us with a little pastoral guidance there, please. What about this, Doctor? Who do we look to for the real hope? And do we have to be self-reliant, or can we rely on those people, wait on those people to do it for us?
On those people? When you say those people,
the
wait
preacher,
on those people who...
The preacher, the politician, even your parents or your family.
Well, I was getting ready to say those people whom it may concern is one of the people, but I can see another people who may not have a concern. So you don't want to rely on people that don't really have the best interest in heart for you. And how do you know who those people are? I mean, that could be the question. So, you know, if you have information, I mean, information is valid, is worth having. It can make a difference. But if, you know, the word says, you know, that to withhold that information would be basically, I would call if you playing sports, that's a foul. You know, why would you withhold some information that's valuable, that can help a person, you know, to change their direction, you know, when you have what it takes, and then you don't carry it out. I mean, that, to me, there's a lot of that going on, you know, or either they may not care. So it's either they care and they have information and they don't mind carrying it out, or they have information and they don't care. So I don't know which one it is. Or it can even be that they don't have information. You know, so I go back to what I've always went to, since I've learned this. And I don't say this boasting or anything like that. But the word of God says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And so in my learning of what he said in his word, I still see the same words in the Bible. Go out into the world. I still see it in there. It haven't went anywhere. So I don't know if the people haven't seen it in there, that all these churches that popped the book open, I don't know if they're looking at it or if they think it have any substance to it. I don't know, man. All I know is that I seen it in there one day. And so I have to have the compassion, you know, that he had on the people. So, you know, it's nothing wrong with having compassion on hurting people, you know, because it could be you. He said, consider it being you out there and someone have the information. Would you want someone to withhold it from you? And that's what I had to ask myself. You know, so no, I wouldn't want them to withhold it from me. You know, tell it to me even if it hurts.
Okay.
Tell me the truth, you know. Because that's what makes us free, man. That's where I'm at with you.
Pastor, we've been joined by a caller from St. Louis. 4644, welcome to the Talk Straight. We're talking tonight. This is a reflection of a previous conversation in 18, Why We Can't Wait. And we've been talking about the need for us to address some of the social ills in the African-American community. Question or comment?
Well, I'm going to make
Praise
a comment.
For the caller.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of ills, but you're only going to be able to effectively do maybe one thing good. And I would choose preparing young blacks and African American youth for higher education and directing them into the STEM plus M fields. Presently, this ethnic group only make up maybe 4% of the total engineers in this country.
Okay.
And that's not even representative of the numbers. And the need is really great. There's organizations like the National Society of Black Engineers, and they have set goals to produce 10,000 graduates, black graduates in the STEM fields by the year 2025. They had to back on that because they was trying to reach 25,000. But these students, these young people aren't being prepared where they can meet the rigors.
Okay.
And you know, at the you have a NSBE chapter in your city. At NSBE last two national conventions, Pittsburgh and Kansas, you had one corporation that hired 400 each year for a total of 800 young black graduate engineers. That was Northrop Grumman. Not including the rest of the corporation that was there. Those kids would be able to go on and have a good income, good wage and salary, be able to marry and have a family, and be able to plan and also send their children along the same path that they took.
I got you. So I don't know if you heard the conversation, but we began... We have a guest in tonight. With full disclosure, it's my son Reuben Jr., and he actually is a student, mechanical engineering student in Cleveland, Ohio. But he and I talked earlier about the situation with this young man, professional athlete, and we began to relate it to our topic for tonight. Here it was, by all some measures, a successful individual who was doing well, and in just one moment, he got caught up. And now his career is over. And he doesn't have a fallback in engineering or any other type of field. You understand what I'm saying? And so really what we've been talking about is why we wait to try to bring that balance to not just some, but all of our young people. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, it's just the thing. Everybody's not going to make it. Everybody's not going to make it.
That is just the reality.
Meager resources.
What do you mean? Say everybody's not going to make it. What do you mean?
Well, everybody's just not going to make it. I mean, you live in a society that allows that. You allow people to pursue to their highest degree, and they also allow people to not pursue. That's just a society that you live in. It's not like other societies where the youth are pressured. It's not like Nigeria. Nigerians have the highest educational attainment in the United States, even higher than whites and Asians. And they also have a higher household income than whites do here in the United States. So they should be studied.
Now, Carla, you know the problem is that we have this social experiment in America called democracy. And to your point, democracy gives people, some folks, enough rope to hang themselves. Are you purporting that perhaps some of these rights and liberties need to be taken away from folks so they don't hang themselves? Is that what you're
Well, I don't think that a child should be I don't think a child should be able to wake up in the morning and think he's a female and at noon go back to thinking he's a male. No, I don't.
Let me bring 3072 in on that. What about that,
man?
What about that,
Mr. Docker? You gonna have to help me. And then Paula better be glad I ain't called Storm, because you're going to have to help me.
Hold on, Doug. Hold on, Doug.
You have to really help me, Doug.
What about that?
I'm in agreement with the previous caller. I mean, democracy can be damning to a certain degree. Wow. We're giving some freedoms and some liberties, and we just run literally to hell with them. Wow. So I think that's the bigger picture that really we need to be addressing within our community.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Are you there?
Keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep going.
So
go
so yeah, I mean, and going back to the incident with the celebrity, the football, is he a football star? You know, even let's say it wasn't the rape thing, but let's say he injured himself to where he couldn't play anymore. So
That's true.
He taught to invest, to save his money, to not put all your eggs in that one basket? Were you taught for that not to define you as an individual, as a person? Is that the only way you can live? Like, I mean, so many things that stem from that.
Okay. That's interesting. Reuben, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I know that you have limited time, so when you have to go, let me just pose this last question. Do you want to weigh in on what the caller from St. Louis was saying about engineers and the focus on trying to encourage more African Americans to do that? You want to weigh in on that briefly?
Sure. No, I'm all for it. In the current state, I guess, of America, and you know, getting blacks into these STEM fields, you know, you only have a limited number of them that are even capable of getting to college in the first place to be able to do this. There's a lot more of them that don't have an opportunity to be able to take advantage of, you know, and even once they get there, to get help from NSBE to success, I guess, in their careers and their lives and their family, whatever that may mean. I'm all for it, but it's America's not structured necessarily for them to get to that point in the first place. There's a lot more of young men that have, I guess, they be given those resources, or you know, set up to, you know, have that value of education to get there, that would benefit. But that, you know, that doesn't apply to a lot of them. I mean, I'm all for, and I'm actually a part of the NSBE chapter here at Case. But again, I mean, you have to acknowledge that that's only a small portion of the population of young men that were, you know, we're talking about, that we'll even be able to take advantage of such an opportunity. And I guess we have to try to find something that's more applicable across the board, something that can help all of them with their, you know, different amounts of education, different backgrounds, that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, let me direct that to St. Louis. So would vocational ed help St. Louis? Would that be a good option or a viable choice, vocational type thing?
Well, I think that you should take your child through trials and tribulations. I think you should direct your child into a certain area. I told my grandson that he was going to be an engineer. He's going to double major in business.
Okay.
And 5 years old, I started training him at baseball. He plays on Louisiana's flagship university. And
okay.
He's 21. He's in his senior year in gas
okay.
petroleum
okay.
engineer. You can't let them make these decisions themselves. They're under too much peer pressure. You
okay.
know
okay.
what's needed. You take your child and see if they are capable of handling this. Your school report card. You should have your child evaluated to see if they are operating at the level that report card says. You can't just go by it.
Okay.
You got to expose your child to many different things. And as I said before, you don't say much when these kids go to these football combines. And at football combine, they are going through different drills to see what they are, what they can do. But the same thing should be applied to education, too.
Agreed.
Now, African Americans overwhelmingly are represented in low-paying majors. That's totally ridiculous.
That is true.
Doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yep.
Right. So that's a great point. And let me ask Don, because I know Don was very adamant about some things in terms of preparing young people and educating them to take advantage of opportunity. Don, now, do you think that you should broaden the opportunity spectrum so that some – now, what St. Louis is saying is everybody's not going to make it in academia or those type of things or those tracks. So is there a need to broaden that spectrum, Don?
Mr. Docker, you really hit me. I don't know if you noticed. Last week I was at the raceway, and it was a setup to kill me. Okay. So when you talk to me and where I am right now, and Mr. Docker, I'm glad you on this topic tonight because you're reawakening me because I seen some other stuff. You know, I'm working with the brothers here across from the Nation of Islam, and I seen one of the brothers who's kin to one of the judges come from his law firm, and red flags came up. And matter of fact, this morning, as I get up, I pick my phone up, a guy was commenting about the educational system there in Montgomery, and they talking about closing it down. And I send word to them that, and Mr. Dockery, you don't want to open this can of worms about George Soros? There is a network out here that was tied in with that. And those individuals did take that resource. Now they running and hiding. There was an individual here in Selma that was tied in, but now she's in Montgomery. Now the school system is falling in Montgomery. And what I put on my text this morning is, I'm not Joe Reed or Rose Sanders. You know, I'm really concerned about young people because guess what? When I came up, like he was saying, my mama did not check my educational, but I played sports. So, you know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? Y'all bringing up some good topics. Y'all hitting some, you know, y'all really nailing the wood on the wall. Because this really do need to be talked about.
Well, and I'll tell you what. When we go into 2019, I agree with St. Louis that you've got to be very focused and deliberate. See, I don't know, St. Louis, if we can take somebody that's 20, 30, 40, 50 years old and turn the clock around for them, but I agree with you that more of that can be done to catch them in elementary school and middle school and high school and create a different path and opportunity for them. Would you meet me there in East St. Louis?
Well, this is what I got to say about that. Every day we hear about complaint, like the gentleman just got through talking about in Alabama, that there's not enough money, not enough resources. Mm-hmm. To educate you. So I'm saying this. Why would you take money from the meager resources that you have and apply it to someone 30 years old when the 6 years old don't have enough?
See,
the whole idea is to keep the kid out of the pipe that leads them to prison.
I get
you understand what I'm saying? That's where the focus has to be. And also, it would be disheartening. This child has done everything that you asked them to do. They are exemplary, but they need one little bit of this, and you're going to take those resources and apply it to somebody who has messed up their life. Now, I'm not saying that there's not supposed to be something for them, but I'm saying that the attention should be on the young people and directing them into the right avenue so that they can be what they need to be. Another point, too.
Okay.
For instance, the U.S. Bureau of Labor has already stated that this country will have a shortage of over 250,000 commercial airline pilots The military alone said they're going to be short 12,000. Well, why aren't there schools designed to prepare young African-American kids for these professions?
Wow.
That's why I'm for school choice. I believe a parent should have the right to put their child in the educational environment that they feels best and goes along with their long-term plans, and the money should follow their child. Because we have many situations where you have children that's coming from functional families that's sitting in environments where the rest of the kids or a large portion of the kids are not coming from functional families. Well, those kids don't belong there. Because all you're doing is agitating them, you're boring them, and sooner or later they're going to end up dropping out or whatever. No.
Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm
Mr. Dockery.
Go ahead, Don.
It's strange that he brought that up about pilots. When we was growing up, we was on in a tobacco field, and my Uncle Joe had an Alice Challenge tractor. And you would pull the clutch back to make the tractor go. So my cousin now is a pilot. He's in Washington, D.C. He's a pilot with the National Guard. And I asked him how they fly jets, and he looked at me and said, Don, you remember I pulled that lever back on that tractor?
Okay. Well, let me say this to y'all. I'm going to talk straight to y'all now. I'm concerned that the I want to make sure I say this right, basketball. I wonder sometimes if the construct of the democratic process is a hindrance to what is needed specifically for the Afro-American community as a whole, to be able to redirect and take control of our children, revitalize our families, and set the tone again, set the bright tone for success. Am I wrong about this, 8112?
I'm sorry, say that again, please. Are you wrong
Am I wrong? The idea that democracy, the democratic process in America, is hurting particularly African-American communities, urban America, from being able to fix what is broken such that all of our children have the best opportunity.
I agree with some, and some I disagree with, because I disagree on the flip side of that is because it's not there's Democrats or Republicans. It's called life.
Okay.
People make mistakes in life. It's been happening for any of us on here start talking. Okay, some people make mistakes. Young, older people make mistakes.
Okay.
What the problem is, I believe, I don't know the total problem of it is, but everyone has a right. After a certain point in their life, yeah, your parents can lay the path for you, but after you get a certain age, that may not be the path. I know many people send their kids to college to take up a certain thing, like some guy was saying from St. Louis. But, however, some other people have went the totally opposite direction. Every time their parents turn around, they change major. So there's those kids, you have to be hungry. I have a brother. He put himself through college. He became one of the big lawyers until he got sick. He still is a big lawyer, but now he's unable to do what he was doing. A whole lot of white folks was wondering, this man came from where he came from, just a little old kid that lived in the hood. But you have to be thirsty. You have to want to drink that water. You have to want to eat that food. And you got to be thirsty and hungry enough to go get it.
Now, I'm going to have to take side of St. Louis just for a second and say that he made an excellent point, though. I hear what you're saying, but he made an excellent point. And he said that when children are unconscious that they're in the world, you have to start plotting and planning for them. And they will grow to meet that expectation when you reward them accordingly. Have I surmised you pretty good, St. Louis?
Well, yes, in essence, that is true. you have the ability to look at future employment trends and direct your child into those areas.
Okay.
Like I said
okay.
before, I directed my child into gas and petroleum engineering. I told him he's going to get at least a
okay.
master's in that, maybe a PhD. Also business
okay.
with an energy matter because
yeah,
that
all right.
the future is looking for that. The future is looking for drone pilots. That's something that you can take 15 kids and put them in a basement in front of simulators, and you can start preparing them for that. Emergency medical technician and paramedic can be taught in the high school. That way you
right.
can man your police department and your fire department in your majority black community.
Mm-hmm.
These
that's,
fixes are simple. And another thing,
yeah,
you're talking
yeah.
about politics. You know, I voted mm-hmm. for Donald Trump. I voted for him
okay.
because of his campaign issues. I never
okay.
have heard at that level a man talk about school choice. I'm for tax reform, immigration reform. If you come into the country, you got to come into the country legally.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he said that those that are here working on work visas, like doctors and engineers, when your work visa is up, you got to go. We're going to replace you
okay.
with Americans. I mean, he's setting the, that's setting the table. When blacks are polled and surveyed in the high 70 percentile, blacks say we want school choice with voucher. You know who say that you don't want that? You got organizations
yeah.
like the NAACP, the National Education Association, and the American Federation of Teachers. They are fighting you. They need your kid to sit in that chair, whether they learn or not, because they make high wages, salary, pensions, and benefits off of that.
Okay. 3072.
Yes.
3072, you there?
Yeah, I'm going to apologize. If my phone, this is like the sixth time, it just keeps shutting me off, then I'll just get
no
with
problem.
You guys the next show.
All right, no problem. No problem. We appreciate you. We appreciate you. I just wanted to bring that because I know that you had, in previous conversations, you had talked about the importance of people being able to have the freedom, you know, to identify themselves even politically as they want to. I was just going to ask you, if we took Donald Trump off of it and all that St. Louis just said, do you think that would be proactive and beneficial for African Americans? That was my question for you. If we took Donald Trump's name
so
off
if
of
Trump,
it.
If Donald Trump wasn't a factor, I would. I mean, it still would depend to me, and it still would depend on exactly the issue, just everything. So yes and no. Yes and no to answer
okay.
your question.
Mr. Dockery.
Yes, yes, go ahead.
What I'm also hearing from the feminine side, and I'm the masculine side, and I was born in the house with my mother and grandfather, and I wasn't born in the house with Reverend Bevel. He wasn't there. He would come through every now and then. And we'll leave.
Okay.
But I'm going to say something what I'm hearing right now from my feminine counterpart. Are you not dialoguing with the brother about our children? Our children are very sacred right now. And I hear the brother when he said about Mr. Trump, and I walked through the neighborhood. You know what blew my mind with Mr. Trump the other day? When he went to the funeral and wouldn't say the Apostles' Creed. And see, I'm more science. So I'm listening now. Don't think I ain't listening. I'm listening very well.
Okay. Well, I mean, that... I want you to take.
But let me say something else. Let me say something. Is the young man named Ruben that's a mechanical engineer?
Yeah, he had to go. He
all right, let me tell you something. Let me tell you about Ruben. If Ruben followed his profession correctly, Ruben is not going to be in poverty. Ruben is going to. Ruben's whole perspective is going to change as his economic level changes. It's like this.
Right.
It has nothing to do with permanent friends. It's about permanent interest. And if that person is in the White House, permanent interest.
Okay.
That's for me.
Okay.
And we got to remember this, too. All blacks ain't the same. Please remember
okay.
that. They are not the same. And you have to recognize that.
I think
so
that.
You have those that have
okay.
an interest in something that's going to affect them and play off with their trip. Let's take something simple. Like the leaving of inheritance. If you had a farm, you want to leave that farm to your child. Well, that farm shouldn't be taxed. Money in the bank that you have already paid taxes on shouldn't be taxed when you get ready to leave it to your family. That's silly.
Okay. All right.
Think about it.
3721 to respond to you, St. Louis, if you don't mind. Go ahead, 3721.
And I appreciate all that St. Louis is bringing. And to Don's question about me, as far as the children go, they are the future. They are more than important. However, with what the statement he was making about my nephew or Ruben being an engineer and his money or financial status, and I think that's part of the problem. We get to those statuses and we've overcome and we forgot to help others that maybe didn't have the same advantages, opportunities, or whatever else that we had.
And then the
rest of the old neighborhood is being left behind, and we still have the problem that we're trying to solve or correct today.
That can happen.
Well, you know,
one of
the best ways to help somebody, you first you got to help yourself. And the old cliche, the old age-old method of success in the United States has always been and still is, and we talk about it all the time, get an education, get a good job, get married.
Okay.
That's age-old success.
I know it's not necessarily, because I know a lot of people, they have the education, they had a good job at one point.
Ma'am, we're talking about at least 11 million people in this country. Maybe 20-some-odd million. We're not talking about who knows, but the data just don't show that.
More urban American children is what I believe. You're not talking about the ones that are productive and being successful. I thought you guys were talking, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought you were talking about urban America for those of them that didn't have all that structure, don't have it, and trying to learn, some of them even trying to learn how to get it. That's what I thought.
Well, let me tell you about urban America. Urban American school district or urban American school district that are majority black, the people control their school district.
St. Louis, give me 1 second. We got about 10 minutes here. 8112, we are speaking about that population. And more importantly, my intent is to give us some sort of guidance on how we can include them. Now, it's going to be up to people in urban America to take advantage of opportunities, right? But we are talking about how can we best redirect and restructure things in their interest. I'm sorry, St. Louis, go ahead right quickly, and then we'll go forward. Go ahead, St. Louis.
Well, I was saying that solutions is to make sure, well, like I said, get married and have a family. Grandparents are a major component, too. I'm talking about for real grandparents. I ain't talking about no 35-year-old grandparents. Grandparents bring intergenerational capital to the picture. A grandparent that is properly formed can help in the raising and also paying for their child's college education. It can help in many ways. That is a vital component. Taking 10 children and put them in the basement of a church, order Texas Instruments Teachers Pack on their graphic calculator with the curriculum. Mm-hmm. You'd be paying about $1,500 and make sure that those 15 children know how to operate that calculator in and out. That is something simple.
Okay. Now, I'll tell you what, St. Louis. I'll tell you what. A lot of what you're talking about is good, but guess what it's going to require? It's going to require a cultural transformation for many people because that's not what they're used to being orientated to. Now, the good news is you and some other folk have an idea about how some of those things can change if they're willing to listen.
That's well, this is going on. this is going on more than you think. Like I said, National Society of Black Engineers had about 30,000 members in the United States, also in West Africa. And as I said earlier, everybody ain't going to make it now, are they?
Well, that's where you and I cut bridges right there, man.
Mr. Dockery.
Yes, sir, Doug.
Before we leave there tonight, my numbers, I want you to call me. My number is 334-327-3122. And you hitting it hard tonight, Doug. I mean, you really hitting it hard. And I'm going to say something to you about, huh? It's 334-327-3122. I need to talk to you because you're hitting something pretty hard. And I'm in something that's, you know, what you're hitting. And I'm going to ask the brothers can, you know what I'm saying? They, you know, y'all communicate. But what you was talking to the brother in St. Louis about, and, you know, y'all hitting some pretty hard topics tonight. And I'm going to say this to you. My father, being in that circle with Dr. King, worked out a process by which you can get rid of jealous, envy, and hate. And that's what I notice with our people. They don't know the energy base to that. They feel that pain of jealous, envy, and hate, but they don't know how to get rid of that and identify that.
Okay. Huh. Well, listen, hey, St. Louis, I guess I'm just in this other world, St. Louis, and I can't give up on it, man. And I'm looking for it. And maybe I'm just a optimistic guy, but I'm looking for the hope, man. I can't turn around on it, St. Louis. You know what I mean?
Well, if you're looking for hope, your hope is, as I said before, is to keep young people from entering into that pipeline that leads into that dismal
fate. You're dead on it.
Because if you're standing there on the outlet side of the pipeline, you'll be standing there for a long, long, long time.
Okay.
Mr. Dockery.
Yes. Yes, sir.
The guy from St. Louis. Well, what happened if you wasn't raised in a household and somebody didn't teach you about the word correctly? And one day, and then you learn it. You see what I'm saying? So those young folks that's out, that I see that's out there, or even those older people that's out there, somebody didn't give them the correct word. Because if they had the correct word, I think they would.
I don't know about that. I know one thing. I went to a school talking to a principal about having the opportunity to speak to a parent group on a lecture I do on how to prepare your children for higher education, starting off as early as third grade. She told me that only 10% of her third graders are reading that level. Another publication said that in the state of California, 75% of black males, 75% of black males are not reading at level. There's a lot of things out there that can be done.
Yeah. Well, and so, St. Louis, and we got about 5 minutes, St. Louis. Your point is well taken, man. The onus is on anybody who identifies themselves as a stakeholder or as a leader or as someone should be listened to. People should give you extend you the opportunity to be heard. If you ain't talking about nothing, go sit down and get out the way. I'm sick and tired of those folks. Don't get out the way. Go crawl up in the corner somewhere and do whatever. But if you got something to offer, man, people ought to take time to listen to that. I'm a firm believer.
Let me tell you something. You talk about athletes. A lot of black kids play sports, which I have no problem with. But when you go to college, if you take an engineering, you're going to be carrying about 15, maybe 17 credit hours. Now, the NCAA allowed athletes 25 hours a week to practice, no more.
Mm-hmm.
Each credit hour that you have, whether it's calculus, which is 5, which is physics, maybe 4, you need at least 2.5 to 3 hours a week per credit hour to study. If you're carrying 15 credit hours, that's 45 hours a week studying. Add that to 25 for playing sports, that's 50 or 70 hours. Well, by the time you sleep, eat, and transport yourself back and forth, you have very, very little room for anything else.
I agree with that 100%. Sound like the discipline to me, man. Wow. Man, listen, great conversation. But 8112, give me a final thought right quickly. We got about 3 minutes. We're gonna turn over to Pastor Wallace in a second.
8112,
give me. Go ahead.
My final thought is this: everybody have a blessed holiday. If
yes.
I don't get on the phone with you guys after Christmas, and then that's my final.
Will you stay beautiful until I talk to you again?
I said, everyone have a blessed and safe holiday.
Did you hear me?
Sir.
Will you stay beautiful until I talk to you again? I heard you. Did you hear me?
I heard you, and I thank you. And yes, sir.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Don, give me something right quick.
Huh?
Give me
man,
it's
that good tonight. The night program tonight was one of the best programs. The guy that's from St. Louis, I appreciate him for being on the program, because I'm telling you, y'all hitting the right topics. You really need a 4-hour program for this, because you hitting it right here on the nail. You're taking that nail and you're driving
right.
It home. That's it right there. That needs to be talked
we're
about.
We're going to bring it back next Tuesday. Thank you, Don. I appreciate you, man. Appreciate you. Okay. St. Louis, brief final thought there before we cut out of here.
Well, like I was saying earlier, the tools that's needed already exist. You just have to utilize them and apply them in the direction forward. Black American children should not be, I mean, it's a shame what they go through. It's a worse shame what they never have an opportunity to go through.
Okay. All right, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we got about a minute and a half. Thank you, man. I appreciate you. We'll be back next Tuesday, 7 o'clock, for an episode of Tech Talk, Straight. Pastor Waller, right quickly, get us out of here, man.
Hey, man, I'd like to say for the knowledge and wisdom of the people who are speaking and as well as hearing, you know, there's something about when you have God first, when you put him first, it makes everything all right. Because I know college kids that are on drugs. I know people that are not in college that are on drugs. And so I know the enemy doesn't care about what school you go to, who your parents are. All he wants you to do is just be lured into his trap. And that's the number one thing and the reason why we need God. So I would say Matthew 6, verse 33, need to be in now. When it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things be added. So if you don't have God in it, you defeat the purpose no matter if you're in college or if you're on the street. Be encouraged.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you so much, sir. We appreciate it and appreciate all our callers. We'll endeavor to be back next Tuesday night, 7 o'clock p.m. We'll be talking about economic impact on urban America. Thank you all again for joining us tonight. And this is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Doctor. We'll be back on next Tuesday night, 7 o'clock p.m. Thank you so much.